This morning we continue our series through the first epistle of John. The title of my sermon this morning is Abiding in God's Love. Advent calls the church to slow its pace and to steady its heart. It invites us to look back with gratitude for God's faithfulness and to look forward with expectation for the fulfillment of all His promises. Last week we considered the hope that shapes our identity as children of God. We reflected on abiding in Christ while waiting for His appearing. And today, Advent continues to work in us by reminding that faithful waiting requires spiritual discernment. As the world around us grows louder with competing voices and shifting truths, God's people must learn to hear clearly, to see rightly, and to stand firmly. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2 declares, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadows of death, upon them a light has shined." Isaiah, he reminds us that Advent is not merely a season to wait in. It's a story of light breaking into darkness and the announcement that God has acted decisively in history and continues to act in the hearts of His people. Amen? See, the light of Christ not only reveals the path to salvation, but it also enables us to see the world as it truly is. Advent teaches us to walk in the light with clarity and with conviction. Psalm chapter 27, verse 1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" The psalmist shows us that when God is our light, we do not walk in confusion or fear. Amen? Advent strengthens our confidence that God is near, guiding His people and giving us the strength to stand firm in a world that often distorts the truth. Romans chapter 13, verse 12. "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." Church, Advent is not passive waiting, it is active participation. It is the church awakening to the reality that Christ has come and He will come again. Amen?
Amen.
The day is at hand. And we, the people of God, are called to live with spiritual alertness. So today, Advent becomes a spiritual mirror, revealing the truth, both the darkness around us and the areas within our own lives where the Spirit is still doing His sanctifying work. And in this way, Advent invites us to be honest about our need for grace, courage, and clarity. It reminds us that the Christian life is not merely about longing for Christ appearing, but allowing His present work to shape our hearts, our thoughts, and our desires. And all of this prepares us for today's message. Advent, it encourages us to listen carefully, to think clearly, and to remain attentive to God's presence and work as we continue to grow in hope. Amen?
Amen.
Last week, we explored abiding in Christ. And today, we focus on recognizing His work in us and discerning the difference between what comes from God and what does not. So in the next part of John's letter, we step into the sobering and necessary truth for the people of God. As we wait for the coming of Christ, we do not wait in a neutral world. We wait in a world that is full of voices and influences, spiritual forces that seek to draw our hearts away from the truth. Advent reminds us that Christ has come and He will come again. But until that day, the church must walk in discernment shaped by the Spirit of God that He has given to us. So 1 John chapter 3, verse 24. "Now he who keeps His commandments abides in Him, and He in him. And by this we know that He abides in us by the Spirit whom He has given us." So John, he begins by reminding us that obedience is not separate from relationship. It is the fruit of abiding in Christ. To abide in Him is to remain rooted in His presence and being shaped by His Word. And John, he tells us that the assurance of this abiding life is the Holy Spirit that God has placed within each believer. The Spirit is the one who makes Christ real to us. The Spirit is the one who teaches us, comforts us, and convicts us. And he also strengthens us. The Holy Spirit, he guards the heart, and he gives clarity in a world that seeks to blur the lines between truth and deception. And this truth is reinforced in Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The Holy Spirit doesn't stand outside of us offering occasional direction. Amen? He dwells within us and he testifies to the truth of our identity, confirming that we belong to the Father. And that same Spirit who overshadowed Mary in the miracle of the incarnation now works within our hearts to form Christ in us, giving us clarity and courage as we navigate a world that is often obscured from the truth. And this abiding presence means the believer never faces confusion, deception, or spiritual battle alone. And Jesus, he promised the believer this in John chapter 14, verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things I said to you. Oh, hallelujah. So Advent, therefore, becomes not only a remembrance of Jesus' first coming, but also a celebration of the Spirit's ongoing ministry within us today. A ministry of illumination, correction, and assurance. And so with this foundation, John moves directly into the call for discernment. So 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Amen? See, John's words here, they're gentle in affection, but they are firm in instruction. He addresses the church as beloved to remind us of our identity, yet he warns us not to accept every spiritual claim without examination. Because this world, it is not spiritually neutral, and the presence of false prophets means that believers must test what they hear, weigh what they encounter, and discern what aligns with the truth of Christ. Amen? And this testing is an act of faithfulness, not suspicion. And is born out of a desire to remain rooted in the voice of our shepherd. And Jesus gives a similar warning in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Jesus teaches that deception often comes with a gentle appearance and familiar language, yet behind the exterior lies a message that draws the heart away from God. This is part of the spiritual landscape of Advent because the world into which Christ came was filled with darkness and confusion. And the world we live in today is the same. Discernment becomes a necessary expression of our waiting as we seek to remain faithful until he returns. John then, he provides the central doctrinal test that separates the Spirit of God from the spirit of deception. So 1 John chapter 4, verse 2. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Amen? Because the Spirit of God always leads people toward Christ. And any teaching that affirms the incarnation, that acknowledges that the eternal Son, he took on flesh, entered our world as the Messiah, aligns with the Spirit of truth. Amen? Amen. And this confession, it honors the heart of the gospel, for the incarnation is not just a historical claim, but the foundation of our very salvation. So Advent, it calls us to remember that God has drawn near in the person of Jesus and that our faith must remain anchored in who he truly is. So here we see why discernment is essential. The enemy doesn't always attack by denying God outright. He often distorts who Jesus is. And this is prevalent in the American church today. And Peter, he faced this when Jesus warned, even well-intentioned voices can become stumbling blocks when they misrepresent God's purpose. So Matthew chapter 16, verse 21 through 23. From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you." But he, Jesus, turned to Peter and said to him, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Likewise, the church must be grounded in the true Christ, not the cultural, political, or sentimental distortions of him. And John, he also clarifies the nature of deception in 1 John chapter 4, verse 3. "And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world." So John, he doesn't describe error as harmless misunderstanding. Amen? Any teaching that denies the true Christ aligns with the spirit of Antichrist, the spirit of opposition that resists the lordship and the identity of Jesus. The spirit was present in John's day, and it remains very active in our day. So as we wait for Christ's return, we must recognize that the world is not only confused, but it's contested. So discernment is not optional because it is essential for remaining faithful. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." So Advent reminds us that Christ entered the world filled with conflict and his people must remain vigilant. We're not called to be fearful. We're called to be aware and anchored in the truth. Amen? And the same spiritual struggle that surrounded his first coming continues to surround his people today. And so having spoken honestly about the reality of deception, John then strengthens the hearts of the believers with a word filled with hope. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." Oh, hallelujah. Somebody get excited. People of God walk in confidence, not because of their own strength, but because of the one who dwells within you is far greater than any force that stands against you. Amen?
Amen.
The victory of Christ is not merely theoretical, it is the present reality. It is active in the life of every believer through the Holy Spirit. And this assurance, it shapes our hearts as we wait during Advent, giving us courage to stand firm in the truth. The one who came in humility and love will come again in glory and power, and even now he empowers us to discern and overcome deception. And this promise echoes the words of Jesus in John chapter 16, verse 33. "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world."
Amen.
If there's ever a verse in the scripture that should make you excited and want to jump up and down, scream hallelujah and amen, it's this one, because Christ is declaring that he has overcome the world. Amen? And Advent, it teaches us to live in that victory, to see the darkness honestly, but to see Christ's supremacy even more clearly. And John, he then contrasts the voice of truth with the voice of the world, showing why false teaching often spreads so easily. He reminds the church that our hearts must remain attentive and attuned to the Holy Spirit. So in 1 John chapter 4, verse 5, "They are of the world, therefore they speak as the world, and the world hears them." False teaching always finds receptive hearts when it speaks in the ways that appeal to worldly desires and values. It resonates with those who are shaped more by culture than by Christ. This is why the church must guard its affections and examine the influences that shape our thinking. This is why it's so important to be in the Word of God each and every day. So this time of season, this Advent, it calls us to reorient our hearts so that we are not slowly pulled away by the world's voice, but we remain attuned to the voice of the Shepherd. And this echoes Paul's reminder in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13 and 14. For such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Discernment is needed not only because evil exists, but because it often appears attractive, reasonable, and comforting. In Advent, it helps us reset our spiritual senses by remembering the true light who exposed all false teaching. Next, we see John. He reaffirms the confidence that belongs to those who walk in the truth. So 1 John chapter 4, verse 6. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Those who belong to God respond to the truth because the Spirit within them bears witness to it. Amen? Church, discernment is not merely an intellectual skill. It is the working of the Holy Spirit shaping our ears to recognize the voice of Christ. And this discerning heart is one of the gifts that strengthens us in Advent as we wait for the one who is truth himself. So as we cultivate discernment and attune our hearts to the Spirit, we begin to see that knowing the truth is inseparable from living in love. Advent's not only the season of waiting for Christ's return, it is also the time to allow His love to shape our relationships and reveal the reality of God dwelling within us. And this brings us to the next truth that John emphasizes, that the evidence of abiding in God is seen in how we love one another. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Amen. John, he begins with a simple yet profound call, love one another. Even the people that we don't want to love. Amen? John, he roots this command in God's own nature, reminding us that love originates with God and it flows through those who are born of Him. To love is to participate in the very character of God, and in doing so, we become to know God more intimately. Love is not simply a feeling or an obligation. It is the tangible evidence of a heart transformed by the Holy Spirit. As Romans chapter 5, verse 5 reminds us, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. This shows that God's love is active and present within the hearts of every believer. This means that love is not something we muster, it is something that God produces. Jesus told his disciples that the world would recognize him or recognize them as his, not by theology alone, but nor by moral excellence, but by love. John chapter 13, verse 35. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Advent reorients us toward the central mark of discipleship, calling us to embody the same love that moved God to enter the world. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So here John, he emphasizes that knowing God is inseparable from love. Amen? To claim to know God while withholding love is a contradiction, for God's essence is love itself. Our relationships with others are a mirror of our relationship with Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 through 3 reinforces this principle. Though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. So as we wait in Advent, this challenges us to examine whether our hearts reflect God's love or whether distractions of the world have dimmed its expression in our lives. And this is why Jesus warned the church about losing its first love. Revelation chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. Nevertheless, I had this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. The danger of drifting from love is not simple emotional coldness, it is spiritual blindness. In Advent, it calls us back to the warmth of God's heart, awakening love that acts, serves, listens, forgives, and sacrifices. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Oh, hallelujah. In this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Do we understand what that word propitiation means? To be the payment. John, he points us to the ultimate demonstration of love, the incarnation and sacrifice of Christ. See, God's love for us does not wait for us to act or to respond. He moves first. Amen? His love, it reaches out to us, pursues us, and takes the initiative to restore and transform our lives even before we are aware of our need. God, He loved us first. He sent His Son to provide a way for us, for our lives to be restored and transformed. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 underscores this reality. By this we know love, because He laid down His life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Advent, it reminds us to reflect on the profound truth. The same love that entered the world in Jesus is the love that now dwells within us, shaping our hearts and our actions. Love is not merely a command. It is the evidence of God's presence and power in our lives. And this shows that God's love is active and present with every believer. This means that the love of God is not something we muster. It is something that God produces. He loved us first. He sent His Son to provide a way for our lives to be restored and transformed. Oh, hallelujah. Something we didn't deserve, church. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, but God demonstrates His own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Do you understand the depth of that statement? God is love, yes, but He's also just. And a just God could have demanded that we pay the price ourselves, but He loves us so much that He sent His Son while we were still sinners to die for us. So Advent is a celebration of the love of God breaking into human history and transforming hearts. 1 John chapter 4, verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So John, he now turns the focus outward. The love that we have received must now flow outward toward others. Amen? Our experience of God's love is validated and made visible in the way that we treat our neighbors, our family, and even those who challenge us. And Jesus reinforces this command in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 through 40. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." So Advent calls us to love actively. Not waiting passively for Christ's return, but allowing His presence to provide or produce acts of care, grace, mercy in our daily lives. And this love is not shallow sentiment. It is a commitment that reflects God's own heart. Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. "Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others." So Advent, it trains our eyes to see others not merely as people in our way or extensions of ourselves, but as beloved creations of God, worthy of compassion and dignity. Church, do you understand why each and every one of us has value in the eyes of God? It's because we are all bearers of the Imago Dei, the image of God. We are the pinnacle of His creation. Amen? Amen. Advent trains our eyes to see people not merely as extensions of ourselves. And so as we have received and reflect God's love, our hearts begin to preserve or perceive His presence in ways that go beyond knowledge or feeling. So Advent is not a season not only of waiting, but of growing in the ability to see God at work in our lives and in the lives of others. When we love genuinely, the invisible God becomes visible through our actions, and the Holy Spirit confirms this with His presence within us. And this leads us to the next truth that John emphasizes, that we are to abide in love. And as we do so, we begin to see God Himself more clearly. So 1 John chapter 4, verse 12. "No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us." John begins by acknowledging a profound truth that no human has physically ever seen God. Yet through love, the invisible becomes tangible. When we express God's love to others, His presence is revealed in and through us. Amen? Love is the means by which His Spirit makes Himself known. And in that practice, the perfection of His love begins to shape our very character. As Colossians 3:14 reminds us, "But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection." When you put on love as the bond of perfection, it is more than a moral duty, it is the transformation of the heart. And love shapes the way that we see others, guiding our words, our thoughts, and our actions. It allows us to reflect God's presence in tangible ways, and it prepares us to recognize His Spirit at work in ourselves and in the lives of those around us. Advent is a season of waiting, but it's also a season of preparation. Preparing our hearts to be vessels of God's love, to discern truth from error, and to walk in a way that honors the One who has come and who is coming again. And this truth resonates with Jesus' words, where He promises to manifest Himself to those who love Him and to keep His word. In other words, love opens the eyes of the heart. See, it's possible to know doctrine accurately, but to fail to see God clearly. But love, it restores our spiritual sight. John chapter 14, verse 21 says, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And as And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Amen. As we love and witness God through the Holy Spirit, we are given tangible assurance of his presence within us, confirming that our relationship with him is real and active. So 1 John chapter 4, verse 13. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. John emphasizes that the Holy Spirit is the proof of our communion with God. Amen? Our ability to love and discern is not of human origin. It is the fruit of the Spirit living within us. And this abiding presence confirms that the God who came in humility at Bethlehem now dwells in us, equipping us to reflect his character, even in the midst of a world that often misunderstands and opposes the truth. Romans chapter 8, verses 9 reinforces this reality. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. The Spirit within us is the guarantee that we belong to Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Guiding our hearts and revealing God's truth in our lives. And the same Spirit confirms the reality of Jesus' work in the world and in our hearts, giving us the confidence to testify of him and to live in alignment with his mission. So here the Spirit becomes our inward advent. God dwelling in us, preparing us and shaping us into Christ's likeness. Amen? As 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 reminds us, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. This ongoing transformation is visible in our love, our humility, and our obedience, preparing us to testify of God, Christ's presence in our lives and in the world. It is this foundation of Spirit-oriented, our Spirit-formed like Christ-likeness, that Christ then affirms the reality of the Savior's mission and our witness. 1 John chapter 4, verse 14 and 15. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. You catch that first word? We testify. We have seen and we testify. This is why we have to tell our kingdom stories, amen? If the Spirit dwells within you, a change has happened. Amen? Which means that you need to go testify about that change to a lost and dying world without hope. John, he reminds us that the foundation of our vision of God is Christ himself. We testify to what we have seen and experienced, the Savior who was sent to redeem this world. So if he has redeemed you, why aren't you telling your story? Amen? Amen. To confess Jesus as Lord is to align ourselves with the Spirit who enables love, discernment, and obedience. Obedience being the key word. This Advent, as we anticipate his return, we are invited to deepen our relationship with him, allowing his Spirit to reveal God more fully through our lives. So how are you doing today? When people see you, do they see Christ? To confess is not merely words. It's loyalty, it's devotion, and surrender. In Luke chapter 6, verse 46, Jesus asked, "And why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say?" Confession without obedience is not enough. Amen? True confession binds the hearts to God's truth, and it shapes our character into Christ's image. Because after all, even the demons believe and they tremble. From this foundation of faithful obedience and heartfelt confession, we move naturally into the reality of God's abiding love in us, which is the proof of our communion with Him. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. So John, he draws this connection full circle. God's love is both the source and the evidence of our abiding in him. To remain in love is to remain in God, and to remain in God is to live in the confidence, the joy, and hope that Advent promises. And as we begin to practice love, we begin to see God not with our eyes, but with our eyes of faith through the Spirit who transforms and equips us. As 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 reminds us again, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. As we abide in love and witness God through the Spirit, our hearts are drawn toward the fullness of His purpose. So Advent, it invites us not only to recognize His presence, but to live in the confidence and boldness that that love produces. And this leads naturally into the consummation of love, where the perfection of God's love shapes our courage, casts out fears, and empowers us to respond to Him with devotion and obedience. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because He is, so are we in this world. So John, he now draws our attention to the culmination of the life of love. The perfection of God's love is in us and gives us courage, enabling us to face the ultimate reality of God's judgment with confidence and not fear. And this boldness is not rooted in our own merit, but in the character of Christ reflected in our lives. So as we abide in Him, the One who is holy and just transforms us so that our lives begin to mirror His righteousness. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 reinforces this truth. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Oh, hallelujah. God's Spirit equips us with the power to overcome challenges. Amen. The Holy Spirit gives us love that anchors our heart in a sound mind to see clearly even in uncertain times. And the Spirit-driven perspective allows us to face life and its ultimate realities without being paralyzed by fear, giving our hearts the freedom to dwell in the confidence and courage that only God's perfect love can provide. Its boldness is not arrogance. It is assurance rooted in Christ's finished work. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Advent deepens this confidence as we look to the One who came to save and will come again to reign. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Church, perfect love removes the grip of fear because it is anchored in the unwavering faithfulness of God. Amen? Fear that torments stems from uncertainty, insecurity, or separation from God, but love rooted in Him brings peace and courage. So this Advent, as we wait for the coming of Christ, we are invited to dwell in that perfect love daily, letting it shape our hearts, our decisions, and our interactions with others. Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39 reminds us of the security of this love. And if these aren't underlined in your Bible, I'm just stomp my foot here, underline these. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, hallelujah. This truth assures us that nothing at all in creation, no trial, no opposition, no uncertainty can ever sever the bond of love of God that has established with His children. It is a love that precedes a response, a love that initiates and sustains us, giving us both security and freedom to love in return. And Advent reminds us that this love is not distant or abstract. It was made manifest in the coming of Christ, who first reached out to us in humility and grace. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, we love Him because He first loved us. Amen? Love is always the response of the child of God. Our devotion, obedience, and commitment flow from the reality of God's work in our lives. Advent calls us to embrace this love in tangible ways, challenging us to live boldly, courageously, with hearts willing to serve others sacrificially. As John chapter 15, verse 12 reminds us, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Through abiding in this love, we are prepared for Christ's return with confidence and joy, allowing our lives to reflect His presence. Perfect love transforms waiting hope, or waiting into hope, devotion into action, and anticipation into a life that testifies to the kingdom of God here and now. This is the essence of Advent preparation. Not frantic activity, but the quiet, steady formation of love that produces Christ-like boldness. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9, Paul said, "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment." Love that grows in knowledge and discernment because love that sees clearly and lives courageously. And as we draw this message to a close, let us return to the heart of Advent, a season of waiting, hope, and preparation. We have seen that the Spirit of God dwells within us, guiding us into truth and equipping us to discern error. We have been reminded that love is both the evidence and pathway of knowing God, and that perfect love casts out fear, shaping our courage and confidence in Christ. Again, 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 declares, "We love Him because He loved us first." And this love is the foundation of our lives, the anchor of our hearts, and the light that prepares us for the coming of the Lord. So as we continue through Advent, let us abide in Him. Test the spirits with discernment, love one another earnestly, and allow God's perfect love to guide our words, our actions, and our relationships. And may the hope of Christ fill our hearts with courage. May His truth guard our minds against deception, and may His love shine through a world that so desperately needs to see Him. Let us wait with expectation, live with boldness, and love without fear, knowing that the One who first loved us is coming again in glory. Amen?
Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. Father, we thank You that as children of God, Your Spirit abides and dwells within us. Father, during this Advent season, as we celebrate the first coming of Christ and we expectantly wait for the second, we pray that the love that is manifested in our lives truly is a reflection of Your love, Your great love. Father, through this love, may others see You. May others see Your Son. Father, this morning I pray that if there's anyone present that doesn't know Your Son as Savior, that today would be that day, that You would move them, that You would convict them of their need, that they would confess Christ as Lord and Savior, that they would repent and turn from their sins. so that the angels would celebrate and we might celebrate. Father, this morning, search our hearts. Show us what we need to see. And we ask this in the name of Christ. Amen.